God said amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. One more time for the Holy Ghost. Amen. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. For the Bible declares, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And certainly we praise and thank God for the privilege that is ours to be alive. And in the number one more time, certainly to give praise and thanksgiving unto our God. And as we gather in this sacred space at this sacred hour on this Lord's Day, we not only reverence the Spirit of Christ that meets us in this place and early in the morning, but we thank God for the angel of this house. Amen. My friend, my brother, mentor, and pastor in the person of the Reverend Gregory Jerome Jackson. Amen. And certainly to Reverend Hilton and to all of the preachers that are present. And we are thankful to God for another Lord's Day. There is a word that speaks to our heart and calls our attention that is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at verse number 36. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse number 36. Would you have it? Would you say amen? Amen. And if you don't mind, shall we stand for the reading of God's word as we honor him on this day? Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 36, and it reads thusly. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Let the church say barren. Amen. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Amen and amen. As you take your seat, I want to talk this morning for just a few moments from the thought simply, I believe. I believe. Why don't you look at somebody straight in the face and tell them, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I believe. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, oh, how we love you and how we thank you. For indeed, God, you are worthy, not of some of our praise, but God, you are worthy of all of our praise. Now, Lord, we simply ask that as you've done so many times before, that you would allow us to feel and sense your presence in this place, that you would speak through this, your servant, as an instrument of thy peace. Use me, O God, in that name that matters most, the name of Jesus. And the people of God said amen, amen. And amen. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I believe. My brothers and sisters, here we are, as some would say, at the close of this high and holy season. The season in which we entered into as Advent, and which the season in which we entered into and celebrated, known to us as Christmas. This is indeed, my brothers and sisters, not just a high, but it is a holy season. And not only is it high and holy, but indeed it is a sacred period. Sacred not only in our lives as individuals, but sacred in the life of the church at large. Sacred because we pause at this particular time to celebrate him, he who makes the church and our lives a reality. Do I have a witness? Sacred not only because we pause to celebrate he, the one who makes our lives and the church a reality, but sacred, my brothers and sisters, because it is a period in which we feel and experience the residue of this particular season. This season is one that gives hope to the hopeless. This is a season that gives joy to those that are sad. It is a season that provides peace to those that are confused. And it is a season that gives freedom to those that find themselves in bondage. My brothers and sisters, this season reminds us that a brand new day is on the horizon. This is a season that reminds us that new mercies are able to be experienced. And it reminds us that new joy can be found. This is a season, my brothers and sisters, not only of new mercies and new joy, but it is a season of brand new possibilities. My brothers and sisters, just in case somebody has come this morning still in bondage, I need to remind you that Christmas is a time of new beginnings. Do I have a witness? It reminds us that God is able to do anything but fail. And I wonder this morning, is there anybody who knows that God is still an able God? It is a season that suggests that even those who have turned from God can now find themselves making their way back to God. But the truth of the matter is, whom among us can afford to live without the presence of God in our lives? Who among us can afford to live without the hand of God on our lives? Who among us can afford to live without finding ourselves caught in the grip of His almighty grace? The very nature of this celebration, the very nature of this season suggests that anything is possible if you and I would just simply believe. That's why I like this season, because the truth is, and I'm sure if you're like me, you have discovered that every day, let the church say every day, I find myself faced with some what people would describe as impossibilities. Every day, my brothers and sisters, I find myself met by some challenges. Every day, I find myself met by some hills and mountains that seemingly are hard for me to navigate through by myself. Every day, my brothers and sisters, I'm met by and confronted by life's challenges. Every day, I have to face some difficult moments and make some tough decisions. Am I by myself this morning? Every day I have to overcome some obstacles. Every day I have to deal with the realities of this mean and sometimes cruel world. But I've got some good news for somebody in the sanctuary. And the good news is that whenever I arrive at this season, whenever I come to this season and celebration of Christmas, I am reminded that regardless of whatever I have faced, and whatever I have been through, and whatever I have encountered from time to time and day to day, I am reminded that all things are possible with God. The truth of the matter is, that's what keeps me going each and every day. Because the truth is, every day when I face a new crisis, I'm reminded that all things are possible. Every day when I'm met by a closed door, I'm reminded that all things are possible. Every day when I encounter some mean-spirited people and some rough roads, I am reminded that all things are possible. And that's the good news for somebody in the sanctuary. You too are to leave with a smile on your face, with a sense of the Holy Ghost and presence of God in your life and in your heart, because God wants to remind you that all things are possible. I know you've had some rough days. I know you've had some hills and mountains to climb. I know you've been met by some life challenges. I know you've been met by some difficult days and had to make some rough decisions. I know that every day has not been like Sunday. Do I have a witness? Every month has not been like the month of May. But you need to be reminded that all things, not some things, but all things are possible to those that believe. And the truth of the matter is, that's what helps me to be able to declare this morning, I still believe. Because when I look back over my life and think things over and consider where I've been and what I've been through, I know it's nothing but the grace of Almighty God that has His hands upon my life. I know that there are some witnesses in the house today who can testify that you too also have come to this season as a believer. I know that there's somebody who has arrived at this particular moment and time in your life and have to declare on this Sunday post-Christmas that you too are a believer. When you consider what you could be, you've got to declare you are a believer. When you consider what you did deserve, you ought to declare that you are a believer. When you consider everything you've done wrong, you ought to declare that you are a believer. When we consider that we've made some mistakes, but we're still in our right mind, somebody ought to declare that I am a believer. When I consider where I've been and what I've been through, but here it is, when I consider that God has saved me, I know that I'm a believer. When I consider that he protects me, I know that I am a believer. When I consider that it is he that has delivered me, spared my life, and keeps on loving me, and keeps me every day, I got to declare that I am a believer. And I know that there is a God, and that all things are possible, because I know that I'm not here by my own strength. I know that I'm not here by my own doing, by my own intellectual prowess, but it's simply because God has looked beyond my faults. I wish I had a witness here. I said, God has looked beyond my faults and he's seen my needs. That's why I thank God, and I've learned that I serve a God who specializes in handling the impossible. I serve a God who specializes in handling things that look like they cannot be handled. I serve a God who specializes in handling cliffs. I wish I had a praying church. I specialize in a God who knows how to show up when my back is up against the wall. And it looks like nobody can hear me praying, but God's got a way of stepping in just in the nick of time. Has God ever come through for you? Has God ever rescued you? Has he ever showed up in your life when you didn't know how you were going to make it? You ought to high five somebody and say, I know that God is able to make a way out of no way. That's why I believe this morning. I can't help but believe. I believe that he's still God. Not only do I believe that he's still God, but I believe he's got all power in his hand. I believe that he's still a God who can quiet storms. I believe he's still a God that can make rough places plain, rough places smooth. I believe that he's still a God that can lower some mountains, that can raise some valleys, that he can unstop deaf ears, that he can open blinded eyes, that he can raise dead folk from the grave. I still believe that he's got all power in his hands. That's what our text illustrates on this morning, is that if you believe that God is able, he'll do that then some more. Our text demonstrates for us not only the power of God, but our text illustrates for us the glory and the majesty of God, that God can indeed step in what looks like a bad situation and make some good out of it. Do I have a witness? Our text is yet an illustration of how God intervenes in what looks like impossible situations. And when God shows up on the scene of an impossible situation, by the time God takes his hands off of the situation, it moves from impossible to possible to praise. Do I have a witness? Here it is. In this particular text, we are confronted by two people. One by the name of Elizabeth, and the other by the name of Zechariah. They are both facing impossible situations. Let the church say impossible. They're both old in age. And not only are they old in age, but the text says that Elizabeth doesn't just have one strike, but she's got two strikes against her. She is not just old in age, but the text says that she is barren. But notice, my brothers and sisters, that Elizabeth and Zechariah have been praying to God for a child. They have been looking for God to provide them with a child. They have been on their knees day and night, night and day, talking to God that somehow God would intervene in their human affairs. But the text says their reality suggests that there is no way in the world that they can have a child. Because not only are they old in age, but the text says that it does not imply, but it says that Elizabeth is barren. I stop by to tell you that God is still a miracle working God. Do I have a witness? You and I can be faithful to God as Zechariah and Elizabeth have been faithful to God. but still encounter some rough situations. In other words, I don't care how holy and sanctified you are, how much you read your Bible, every last one of us is a candidate for hard times. Every last one of us is a candidate for a breakdown. Every last one of us is a candidate to find ourselves in some trouble. Every last one of us is just a paycheck away from being broke. Every last one of us is just a movement away from losing our minds. That's why we got to be careful about how we talk about other people and how we treat everybody else. Because the people that we talk about might be the people that have to lift us up and give us a hand. They have been faithful to God. But even though they have been faithful to God, the text says that they're still wrestling with this impossible situation. And the truth is, some of us come this morning with our praise in our lips, lifting up our holy hands, opening our mouths, and rejoicing unto God. But in the midst of our praise, in the midst of our thanksgiving, the truth is we've left some impossible situations at home. I wish I had a witness here. We might not talk about it, but every last one of us have some impossible situation. Some door that we wish would open. Some situation that we wish would just disappear from our lives. Some sickness that we wish we could get rid of. But I stop by to tell you, you ought not give up on God. You ought not throw in the towel on God, because he may not come when you want him to come. But somebody can testify that he's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. And the text says that you ought to believe, because it doesn't matter how much faith you have. It doesn't matter the depth of your faith, that your faith will be tested. And when your faith is tested, you ought to still be able to hold your head up and say, I don't know what God is doing or in how long he's going to do it. But I just believe that somehow and some way that God's going to work this thing out. And I wonder, is that anybody's testimony on this morning? You don't know when God's going to do it. You don't know how God is going to do it. But all you know is that somehow and some way, somehow, some way, God will work it out. The text suggests to us that there are some things that Zechariah and Elizabeth do that help us understand that they are believers. And if there's nothing else, they held on to their faith. The text implies that there are three things that we can learn from this text, that if we can just get them in our minds and our hearts, that the same God who emerges in the passage is the same God that will emerge in our lives. First thing the text suggests to us, if we're going to believe, then we ought to believe in three things. And the first thing that we ought to believe in is the power of prayer. Let church say the power of prayer. I don't know about you, but I've learned just a few things in a short time. And one of those things is that prayer will change a situation. I don't fool me this morning. Is there anybody who knows that prayer will change a situation? Notice that if you look at verse 13, the text says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. The text says that Zacharias was a praying man. He was totally aware of what he needed and what he wanted from God. And so because he knew what he wanted from God, he lifts up his voice towards heaven and begins to commune with God. Now notice he does not wait until trouble comes to start his prayer life, but he has relationship with God. He gets up in the morning talking to the Lord. At noonday, he's talking to God. And in the midnight hour, he's talking to God. And so when he calls up heaven, it's not like he's calling up some stranger. He knows God, but more importantly, God knows him. The late Dr. C.W. Clark says, if you pray often, you don't have to pray long. And I stop by to tell somebody, you don't have to pray some cute prayers. I wish I had a praying church. But when you find your back up against the wall and you are in need for God to make a way out of no way, you ought to say, Lord, I need your help.
Have you ever tried just calling on the name of the Lord, not worrying about who's watching you, not worrying about what you look like when you do it? You ought to throw your head back right now and say, Lord, help me in my situation. He knows that prayer can change a situation. And that's what I stopped by to tell somebody on this morning. If you believe, you ought to believe in the power of prayer. Because prayer will change a situation. Stories told about this young man and had gone to the store with his little girl. When they got to the store, he got to the store with his little girl. They're in the store, it's crowded, and because of the hustle and the bustle, this little young girl gets separated from her father. She panics, she's afraid because she's in this huge store. It's crowded, it's jam-packed, and she's now separated from her father. She remembered something that her mother taught her as she was a little girl. Her mother said, if ever you find yourself in a tight spot, just go to the nearest corner and just start praying and talking to God. This little girl remembered what her mother told her. She found the nearest corner, got in that corner, turned her back toward everybody else, and she began to talk to the Lord. By that time, one of the store managers recognized that this little girl was in the corner. It appeared that she was talking to herself, and he walked up on her. When he walked up on her, she was sounding out her ABCs. He tapped her on the shoulder and said, young lady, can I help you with something? She said, yes, I've lost my father. He's in this store somewhere, and I've been praying that the Lord would help me to find my father. That store manager looked at her and said, well, I don't know much about your praying because it sounded like you were saying your ABCs to me. He said, but I'll help you find your father. She looked at that man back in the face and said, nah, you're crazy. Haven't you heard that God is a grammarian, that you can give him whatever comes out of your mouth and God will make some sense out of it? He did send you to help me, didn't he? And I stop by to tell somebody, it doesn't matter what it sounds like, but every now and then, you ought to just from the depths of your heart, just talk to the Lord. Tell somebody the power of prayer. But not only must you believe in the power of prayer, but then secondly, he says, if you're going to believe, then you've got to believe in the potential for change. Tell somebody potential for change. Look at that 13th verse again, the B clause says, he said, but the angel said unto him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Here it is, the B clause. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. I've discovered that most people talk about change. Most people say they want change. Most people articulate that they want something new to happen in their life. But when it happens, we don't even believe it's happening. I think I need to say it again. Most of us talk about wanting change. Most of us talk about wanting deliverance. Most of us talk about wanting God to do something supernatural in our lives. But when God positions us to get it done, we then don't even believe that we are capable and deserving of having the blessing take place in our lives. Here it is. God says to Zacharias, after he has already prayed to God, he says, Zacharias, I want you to know that your prayer has been heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. Now, somebody would say, well, that's a good reason to shout. But the problem is that Zacharias doesn't shout. The problem is that after God tells him that his prayers have been answered and that his wife's going to have this child that they've been praying for, Zacharias then says to the angel, he says, wait a minute, how can this be? He doubts the very thing that he's been praying for and looking for God to do in his life. He got up in the morning asking God to bless his wife's womb. He went to bed at night asking God to bless his wife's womb. He went to church on Sunday morning asking God to bless his womb. But yet when God blesses him, he doesn't even have sense enough to just say thank you for the blessing and keep moving on. We ought not be too hard on Zechariah, because some of us find ourselves in the same place. Some of us find ourselves in the same predicament. God blesses us and we don't think we're worthy of the blessing. God opens doors for us and we are afraid to walk through the doors that God has opened for us. Somebody ought to tell the devil he is a liar. And what God has for you, it is for you. And can't no devil in hell stop you from getting what God has for you. He says, you've got to believe in the potential for change. Here it is. He says, your wife will have a son. Period. That was time for him just to say, thank you, Lord. Have a praise break. Go on back home and prepare the room for this newborn child. And I stop by to tell somebody on this morning, the blessing you've been waiting for, the blessing you've been looking for, the blessing you've been asking God for, it ain't gonna happen until you believe that it's already done. It's not gonna happen until you start acting like it's already done. When they ask you why you buy that new car wax, tell them because it's for the new car that God's gonna bless you with. God will bless your faithfulness. He said, I believe in the power of prayer. He said, I believe in the potential for change. He said, but then last but not least, but notice this, lest I move too fast, the consequence of Zechariah's doubting the blessing of God is that in verse 20, the angel shows back up and silences Zechariah. Says to him, you will not be able to say another word until after I have done what I said I was going to do. You want to know why you talking and people can't hear you? You want to know why you opening your mouth and it looks like nobody's understanding you? That's because you are so much of a doubter that God has silenced you and you don't even realize you've been silenced. The power and potential for change. I stop by to tell you that change is possible. But here it is, last but not least. Not only does he say you ought to believe in the power of prayer, not only does he suggest to us that we ought to believe in the potential for change, he says, but last but not least, we ought to believe in the promise of possibility. Tell somebody it is possible. I don't know what it is, but it is possible. I don't know how long you've been praying for it, but it is possible. Songwriter says, have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. And he will do what no other power, Holy Ghost power, can do. Look at verse 37. Verse 37 tells us that it is possible. But verse 37 says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, I don't care what translation you read it in. I don't care what syntax you try to figure it out in, what language you try to repeat it in. Nothing is nothing. Whenever you look at the word nothing, it translates to absolutely nothing. Not a little bit, not a portion of. Not somewhat, nothing is nothing. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, I told you it is possible. Because nothing it will be impossible with God. I'm stopped by to tell you that as much as I believe in prayer, and I believe prayer works, as much as I believe in change, and I certainly believe that there is a need for all of us to change in our lives. Do I have a witness? As much as I believe in the power and possibilities of Almighty God, I've come to understand when all of my human efforts fail, when all of my own personal power and prowess cannot help me, when all of my strength is zapped and exhausted, it is then that I cannot rely on anybody else but God himself. And the truth of the matter is, somebody is at that point right now. You've exhausted all of your strength. Do I have a witness? You've exhausted all of your earthly power. You've exhausted everything that you have attempted to try. And now you're at a point and place in your life that you can only say, if it's going to happen, it's got to be because of the power of Almighty God. And I stop by to tell you, the same God who did it for Zacharias and Elizabeth is the same God that can do it for us. Do I have a witness? I must rely upon my hope and my trust in Almighty God. Because as bad as it sometimes gets, I believe that God has the last word. Do I have a witness? As bad as it sometimes looks, and it does look bad sometimes, as we look at the condition of our world, you heard it talked about already this morning. We cannot come to this season and not remember those parents who buried those 20 children a few weeks ago in Connecticut. We cannot come to this season and not think about the countless numbers of men and women whose lives are lost every day by violence. We cannot come to this season and not think about those that are less fortunate than we are. But I stop by to tell you that God is able. I stop.